Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Grecian's Gossip. I'm Daniel Clark and I've got Jamie Hawkins and Stu James alongside me today.
Hi Dan.
Hi Daniel.
Hi, let's just start back with a look back at Saturday and Swindon, 2-0 win. You guys were both there. Thoughts on the game? Stu, we'll start with you.
I was surprised at how comfortable it was, really. I thought first half City were playing into a really strong wind, although it was quite sort of blustery within the stadium itself. But shooting towards St James's Park, we saw with Christy Pings kicking, you know, the ball quite often go out of play. And it did come in for a bit of unnecessary stick, I thought, from the big bank. But the game itself, as I say, I thought City well in control, saw out that first half, managed to get a goal, got a second in the second half. And from there on, there was only ever going to be one winner, really. I don't know what you felt, Jamie.
Yeah, same. Like you said, I was so surprised because Swindon are, well, supposedly one of the favourites to go up this season. They've got, on paper, a strong squad. Phil Brown was obviously a good manager, a lot of experience. He's got promotion from the division with Southend. But yeah, I was saying to you, Stu, yesterday, it was never in doubt for me. No. You know, Swindon had a lot of the ball, you know, towards the end of the first half and most of the second half, but their finishing was atrocious, really. Their number nine, Richards, had a couple of good chances in the first half, missed a free header, and had a one-on-one with Pym, who, you know, did well, to be fair, to make a great save. But in the end, it was just another comfortable home win, which we've seen plenty of this season. You know, obviously we had that Lincoln game, which was disappointing. Lincoln was just a better team, I think, on the day. But other than that, it's been a pretty smooth ride for Exeter at home so far this season. And, you know, you look at the teams that we've beaten on paper, meant to be good teams, and yet they've just not turned up at the moment. Don't really know why. Obviously, I have to give X a lot of credit for the way that they've set up. Matt Taylor making his defence just so strong at the moment. Obviously, you know, Troy Brown being out raised a few eyebrows, a lot of concern. But obviously, Luke Kroll's come in and done a marvellous job, along with Aaron Martin, who's been a terrific signing, perhaps arguably the best one that Taylor's made so far. And just the way he's set the team up, he's switched formations at times, he's made the right substitutes as well, tactically he's got it spot on, and you know, it just keeps the run going, second in the league. No one would have predicted this going into the season, so if you can comfortably beat your so-called promotion rivals at home, then you can have a very good season.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head actually with the defence, because where I sit in the press box, you get a really good view of the way City's defensive line is set up, and they get that back four, and then you get the likes of Lee Holmes and Nicky Law just dropping in to make it almost like a back six, and then the two midfielders, central midfielders, sitting just in front of them. I mean, you sit in the same seat pretty much, Dan, don't you? Do you notice it as well, just how well set up we are defensively?
Yeah, they seem to be pretty much, they know how they're going. The back four seem to be in a line. You know, the goals that you see them conceding this season, it's more individual mistakes than sort of team mistakes. So, you know, so especially, you know, recent games, especially at Yeovil last, the defensive there is just a poor back pass header, or being done for pace, or, you know, there's, I think, you know, been a couple of situations where Dean Moxie and Troy Brown sort of got in each other's way and led to a goal. But, you know, that's not the way the team's been set up. It's just someone has made a mistake and, you know, a League Two level, that happens. It's not been, I can't really remember any real, other than maybe one or two goals this season at most, that have been, you look at it and you think that that's a failure in the way they've set up, and that it was, rather than just someone's let his man run free. Yeah. And that, so you sort of, they've got the defensive line set up. Obviously the way they're playing, particularly at the minute, with, you know, three, you know, central midfielders with Taylor and Tilson and Boateng as well, they've got plenty of players back, you know, trying to defend, and, you know, players dropping in, so they're sort of making sure they're solid at the back, and then they can, you know, go out and score goals the other way, you know, going forward. But it seems to be whatever they're working on in training, and I think actually partly having a settled back four as well is helping. Obviously, there has been injuries, but you sort of, you know, the back four of Moxie, Kroll, Martin and Sweeney, I don't think there's anyone goes to games expecting that to change at the moment, other than, you know, there's no rotation, there's no players, you know, injury one week back the next week or anything. It's that's the back four, and that will stay as the back four, I suspect, for quite some time, unless he's forced to make a change.
It seems to be the whole team, though, doesn't it? I mean, if he wants to go 4-4-2, you know what the team's going to be. The only question mark, I suppose, is on the wing, and whether it's Lee Holmes or Lee Martin. That just seems to be the only question mark at the moment. Although Holmes' form recently means that he's kind of got the shirt.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad problem to have, really, is it? You've got two very good wingers in their experience as well. And, you know, Lee Holmes, he's been a little inconsistent at the start of the season. Obviously, he's had his sort of injury problems throughout his time here and throughout his career. But on Saturday, he was excellent, wasn't he? He was just so unplayable. It's the player that, you know, X fans love to see. The reason they signed him, he can make so many runs, shows great tricky footwork, puts a great cross in as well. Perhaps he's criticised sometimes for trying to do too much, too many step overs when he can, I don't know, play a pass or a cross.
Sometimes he beats his man and then wants to beat him again. And by
confidence.
And then the third time he beats him and then hits the man with a cross occasionally. Yeah. But you sometimes just want him just to, you've beaten the man, just get the ball in the first time because it's harder to defend.
I love the way that Holmes gets us up the pitch though. You know, he gets the ball and he's not got great amount of pace, but he just sort of glides up the pitch and all of a sudden we're there on the edge of the penalty box and him with an attacking opportunity.
I think going into the season, you know, towards the end of last season, you know, when you had on the left Dean Moxie, Craig Woodman on the left wing, and there's just no pace there at all. And I think we and all the fans were crying out for just someone who can run at defenders. I think that's what Matt Taylor said as well. We want someone that can make those runs, and we've got that with Martin and Holmes and Tristan Abrahams and
John Fort. You know, he's got a fair bit of pace.
Yeah, he's so quick, isn't he? And that's what City have lacked recently, but it's great to see that players have that now. And, you know, it's just great to, because it drives the team forward as well. To players that not only make the runs, take players on as well and put those crosses in for Stockley as well to get his head on. We saw it on Saturday with Sweeney delivering an unbelievable ball win to Stockley as well. It was a stunning cross.
And we should say about the disallowed goal as well, because that was a great cross as well and a superb finish, yeah, wasn't it?
And looked at the replays, I think he might have been onside, you know.
Yeah, it was a close one, wasn't it?
Great finish from Minton as well. But yeah, it was great to see Holmes back in form because he's a fan favourite as well. Yeah. Fans love him, the big bounce.
Talk about Jaden Stockley and his goals, and it seems to be a weekly occurrence, a Jaden Stockley goal. I mean, Stu, you chatted to him earlier in the week, and do you want to sort of just talk about just how many goals he scored in this calendar year and how many players he's got more goals than?
Oh, it's incredible, isn't it? You know, you look at the stats, there's that great stat going around that he's got more goals this calendar year than Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. So, you know,
wouldn't swap him for either of them.
No, you wouldn't, would you? Absolutely. But he's a fantastic striker, you know, and what I love about him is that he's not the end product yet. He's still working hard at his game. I think his touch is improving. I think his strength is better than it was as well. He's obviously been down at the gym. And what I really like about him is the comments about the players that he tries to be like. You know, you often speak to players and they're like, you know, they talk about Messi and Ronaldo and wanting to be that type of player. Stockley knows his limitations and he talks about being like Glenn Murray or Andy Carroll, you know, players that he can identify with and base his game on them. And yeah, you speak about his goals, I think he's got something like 44 in 83 for Exeter now. It's something along those lines, I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's better than a goal every two games. So for a player in League 2, I think that's a phenomenal record.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing for Exeter City fans, when you see a player, striker, do so well, you think, yes, great, he's getting the goals, but on the other hand, hang on, he's going to be, you know, looked at by other clubs. And then when you see all the stories after Saturday, you know, Ronaldo, Messi, Stockley, the top scorer in the country this year, it's kind of worrying, I suppose, in terms of his future. But listen, you know, he seems just so settled down here. I think he said last week, you know, he's enjoying it here. He's seems to be settled here, because he's, you know, he is quite sort of well travelled throughout his career. I mean, he's only 25, so
yeah,
he's
a young man. Clubs,
he's
though,
yet to reach the prime of his career, but you know, he's just such a great player for Exeter. When he came in at first on loan a couple of years ago, he got the goals as well, and you know, since his return, he's just been, you know, excellent. Fans still somehow give him criticism because he can go missing in some games, but that's not really his fault. It's the lack of service, because you know, he is a target man. Obviously, that's what he's there for. You know, the area of threat that he poses. But sometimes, if the balls aren't falling to him, you know, he can go missing in some games. But as I said, that isn't his fault. And that scissor kick that he got on Saturday just shows how full of confidence he is at the moment. That he has the nerve to take that on. And yeah, it's just great for everyone at the club at the moment, because it just gives everyone a massive boost. And you know, if you want to do well in League Two, you're going to need a you know, a player that's going to get you at least 20 goals a season, and Stockley will get that in my mind, no doubt.
Yeah, I suppose the thing with Stockley as well is he scores all these goals, but you also, you know, come away from games thinking, well, he probably should have got more, because there's a lot of, you know, he takes chances, but he also seems to miss quite a few chances. Similar to perhaps sort of Jamie Curtin.
Yeah.
And back in the day, you know, he'd score 20 goals a season, and you'd think, well, he should have got 60 with the amount of chances he missed. He missed at times. So if he ever gets that, you know, sort of, you know, becomes a little bit more clinical in front of goal, sort of, and sort of, you know, takes some of the chances that you sort of think he probably should take and doesn't, then he's not a 20 goal a season man. He suddenly becomes a 30, 40 goal a season man. And then I suspect there's no chance that he'd be, you know, he'd be scoring that many goals. And you know, the amount of goals he's scoring at the minute, you kind of feel that, you know, League One clubs, possibly even bottom half of the Championship, are going to be, you know, keeping an eye on him and potentially preparing that bid for January. And it'll be up to the club and him to decide whether he wants to move on. But
well, that's obviously the big concern, isn't it? It's just how long he's going to stay at Exeter, because the way he's going, he's not going to be around for long. Personally, I really hope he stays for the rest of this season, because I think he's going to be so key to whether we go up or not. As you say, Dan, you know, if someone comes in with a big money offer, we don't know if there's a clause in his contract, of course. If there is a clause, then City might have no option but to let him go. But then it comes down to Jaden as well. And as you touched on, Jamie, he's really happy here. You know, he's settled. He's got two young children, his, you know, wife here and things like that. Just bought a house. In terms of his football, I don't think he's ever been happier, just from speaking to him and from hearing what he's had to say. So whether he wants to go or not is another matter. Of course, the issue then, we know what agents are like in football. Is his agent in his ear trying to get him a better deal? You just don't know, do you?
Yeah, I suppose obviously if Stockley was to leave, it would sort of, does feel a bit of a hole in the extra strike force, not just in the amount of goals, but the style of play. Because unlike last season when we had a lot of sort of big target men, actually if Stockley isn't available, you've almost got to think of a different way of playing, because you know, the other strikers in Fort and Abrahams and Matt Jay, they're very different kind of players, sort of more quick, pacey, in behind players than a target man. And you know, that would, you might have to, you know, be a little bit of concern. Obviously, I think Stockley's on 4 yellow cards as well, so he's got about 2 months to get through trying to avoid a booking as well. So, which again could, you know, be an issue for the game that he misses.
It's interesting what you say there, because I remember speaking to Matt and he talked back in pre-season about the evolution of the team and how the team's going to evolve over the course of the season and in time. Maybe that's the way Matt wants to go. Maybe he does want to play with quick young or quick strikers up front, you know, that a different type of striker to Jaden Stockley. But of course, he inherited Stockley. He's got to find a way of playing with him in the side, and he seems to have done that, really. I think he's really getting the best out of him by having John Fort. You know, I think that is a really, really key signing, because the two of them together link up so well.
Yeah, I think he's brought the best out of Stockley's game. Obviously, he's got a lot of experience for, and a similar player in a way, in terms of, you know, physically strong and a good aerial presence. So
he's got more pace, though, hasn't he? Which gives him that
absolutely.
Edge.
I think everyone was sort of surprised about that, how quick he was, because he's 31.
Yeah, 31, 32.
So, you know, he's just shown that he's the complete striker, I suppose, in a way. But, you know, on the Stockley, perhaps potentially leaving in January, I mean, obviously it'd be a huge loss, but you'd like to think Exeter would be in the market to replace him. You know, finances are good at the club, you'd think get a good fee for him.
Well, that's what happened when he arrived, wasn't it? You know, David Wheeler was sold, and then Jaden came in later on that afternoon for a club record fee. So you'd imagine some of that money would be reinvested if it came to the, you know, a situation where Jaden was sold.
Yeah, and hopefully, come January, you know, touch wood, Exeter will still be in a great place in League Two and the promotion run. So players would want to come down to Exeter, you think, given how well we've been doing this season. But I like to think that Jaden would stay at least till the end of the season, because obviously he was devastated to miss out on promotion last season. I think he said, you know, he wants to go one better this season, so you like to think that he would see the season out to see how it goes, and then perhaps say, look, I've done my time here, had a great time, but it's time to move on, because he's still young and ambitious in his career. He's shown that he's played all over the country, signing from Aberdeen, so he's not afraid to perhaps move on, although he has settled down here. So yeah, just wait and see, I suppose, but let's just enjoy him while we can.
Absolutely.
We'll be enjoying him two away trips over the next few days, at Grimsby on Saturday and then Crawley on Tuesday night. And it's two long away trips, but two trips that on paper you'd probably be hoping for 4 points from.
Yeah, they're not exactly glamorised, are they? but Grimsby have actually picked up a little bit of late. I think the last two or three results they've had have not been too bad. But I mean, the way City are playing at the moment, I think it's 9 undefeated in all competitions. They can take on anyone with, you know, massive amounts of confidence and get a result. The way, you know, the way they're playing, as we, you know, we spoke about the Swindon game earlier on, and as I say, it just looks so comfortable, and that seems to be almost a danger, is that some of these games are almost too easy for Exeter. It's like the first half at Yeovil as well. I thought we would play well within ourselves, got in front, and we almost took the win for granted, and then got caught out at the start of the second half. But you know, they're, at the same time, that can be a lesson, you know, throwing those 2 points away. Matt was clearly annoyed post-match. They learned from that mistake against Swindon. Never looked like we were going to lose against them. And I think going into the games against Grimsby and Crawley, as I say, high in confidence, there's no reason why we can't go and win both games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, on paper, second in the league against, what, 22nd, 21st in the league, it should be a comfortable win. We've got a decent record at Grimsby of late, because they've been so poor in recent years. But obviously form's going to play a good part for Grimsby. But as Daniel said, I think with them on Saturday and Crawley on Tuesday, 4 points would be absolutely brilliant to keep the unbeaten run going. Be interesting to just see how they set up, because obviously Grimsby have a bit of a reputation as a direct team. So we'll see, match that as well, or play to a different style of football. But Crawley will be interesting as well, because struggled against them lately. I think lost last season, sounded like a pretty poor, awful performance. Hopefully we'll keep the run going, because got some questionable fixtures coming up. Forest Green back at the Park next Saturday, who are, you know, doing so well, and then obviously a break for the FA Cup. So yeah, it'd be good to keep the run going, and 4 points for me would be a great return in the next week.
Yeah, and obviously sort of coming up to that stage of the season in the winter, where it traditionally Exeter City have sort of just dipped off a little bit. I think the last season they were sort of, it was top of the table, more right at the top this time of year, and then it sort of just drifted away. And Stu, you've got a bit of a theory on
as to
what goes wrong over the winter months.
Yeah, well, of course, the when the clocks change and we get into the proper winter, I suppose you can call it, of course we start using the yellow footballs, don't we? So I just wonder if City have a bit of an issue with playing with yellow footballs. I'm actually going to look into it and try and do a little bit of research and work out our record playing with the white balls and then with the yellow balls as well, and see if there's some sort of alignment that can be made.
Because Paul Tisdale, you often talk about winter football and how you had to change the style of play because the pitches weren't so good, and you know, you couldn't play as much free-flowing football and in the mud of some of those games in November and December. But the pitch seems to be holding up pretty well this season.
Very much so, yeah. I mean, Tis always used to say, make hay while the sun shines. That was one of his favourite sayings, really, and it's very true, and at the moment the weather's pretty good. hopefully it will be for a few weeks yet. And as you say, Dan, the pitch is in fantastic condition. Fair play to Clive Pring and his team, because obviously we had a few issues last year. But it's funny, isn't it? Because although weekdays, it still seems to be quite sunny at the moment. When it gets to a match day, it seems to go grey and rainy again, which seemed to be the case every single Saturday last season.
It's perfect on Saturday.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah, it was.
With all that rain, with the storm coming, I think we're even one or two doubts as to whether the game would perhaps go ahead. I think a few years ago, it probably would have been called off, but it was just perfect. You wouldn't have known that there was so much rain. So, yeah, it obviously does play a vital part in how you perform and how you do. I mean, look at some of the grounds that Exeter have to go to, perhaps not the best quality of pitches, but yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they adapt to that, because it can make a massive difference. You know, you probably think there'll be one or two postponements coming up as well. How will that affect them as well? But yeah, it is interesting how suddenly a change of ball can affect it. I remember being up at the training ground earlier this season for the Cowra Cup tie before the Ipswich game, I think it was, and they were using obviously different balls because they use different footballs to try and adapt to it. So maybe they'll be practicing with the yellow balls.
Yeah, they probably will be.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not just trips to Grimsby and Crawley that Exeter City fans will be looking out for this week. It's also a first round of the FA Cup draw takes place on Monday. It's always an exciting time of the year, waiting for the ball to be pulled out of the bag and
until you get Bury away.
Yeah, well, it's been a few years since we've had Bury away. Yeah.
And the cup we'll get on Monday now.
But obviously, yeah, so, you know, obviously Exeter have had a recent record in the cup's been a bit better than, obviously, there was some, I think it was about 12, 13 years without reaching the first round, but sort of, you know, Liverpool and West Brom in the third round in recent ties, obviously two rounds to get through to get to that. But Stu, sort of, what are we looking for ideally in the draw on Monday night?
I always want like a low non-league team at home, you know, simple as that, really. Give yourself the best possible chance of getting through to round two, simple as that.
Yeah, same, just get a nice non-league team at home, a team that not many people would have heard of.
I never used to mind getting them away, but then we suddenly got Curzon, Ashton and Warrington, and my sort of thought process has changed a little bit since then.
As soon as it's picked for TV, so much pressure. But yeah, for me it's always about getting through the first couple of rounds and then a nice Premier League team away or something.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they've had not the worst luck in cup draws. I think three of the last four seasons they've actually drawn the lowest ranked team in the draw in the first round. Yeah. So you kind of get the feeling, but, you know, perhaps they're due a tougher tie, be that Sunderland, obviously the likes of them in the cup draw as well. That would be probably not the kind of draw you want at this stage, and potentially for Torquay United as well.
I'd love Torquay. Torquay have got to get through first. They have Winchester at the weekend, but that'd be a great draw, wouldn't it?
Argyle.
It's a bit too easy, isn't it, Argyle?
Yeah, I don't know, I'm not so sure about that. Taunton are still in there, of course. It'd be nice to see Taunton get through.
Yeah, definitely.
Local game.
Yeah. Yeah,
but again, there's not really anything for Exeter to fear, and if they've got genuine aspirations, which we all know they do, of getting into League One, then it would be a good yardstick to see how far they've progressed and how they'd fare against the League One team. But now, hopefully the good luck continues and we get another easy tie. I say very tongue-in-cheek.
A winnable tie is the term we use.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, so obviously that's Monday night, obviously Grimsby Saturday, Crawley on Tuesday, so it's going to be a busy week for Exeter City. Join us again next week for the next edition of Grecian's Gossip, when we'll be looking back at those fixtures, the cup tie, and be looking ahead to Forest Green Rovers and the opening of the new stands.
Indeed.